Hi, and welcome back to week 5 of Pandemics, a special Pride Month edition. Today, we speak with Rusty Bueller, who moved back to Buffalo from New York City 3 years ago with his partner. Rusty, welcome, and thank you for being here.
So my first question for you is, what is your connection to Buffalo and the Buffalo Jewish community?
Well, I was born and raised in Buffalo. And my mom's side of the family is Jewish, and I was raised, under the Jewish faith, and we attended Temple Beth Am when I was growing up, and I was bar mitzvahed, and, also participated in, the BBYO youth group, and was a big summer camp, person, and attended Camp Lakeland for a number of years.
As you know, this is the pride issue of My Jewish Buffalo. As someone who is involved with both the LGBTQ plus community and the Jewish community, do you feel like they intersect at all? If so, how?
I guess they intersect. I think of my own identity, and I think that they intersect in me and how I now like live my life and identify as a person. I was a late bloomer in terms of coming out. So growing up, being raised Jewish to me is like an independent idea from growing up as like an LGBT youth. 'Cause I didn't come out until I was 23, I think. But I think today it's much easier to, not easier is the wrong word. I think it's a different world today than it was even 15 years ago. And I feel so, it feels like it's a more welcoming place, particularly in the greater Buffalo area. It feels a little bit more inclusive than maybe in other parts of the United States where a young Jew or a young LGBTQ person can have their own experiences and share them with people more freely maybe than they could have just a few years ago, which is funny to think about because I don't think I'm a particularly old person. I'm not young, but it's just crazy how much progress has been made over the last few years in particular in terms of just perception and how people view LGBTQ culture.
The progress is really amazing and so exciting to see. And as you mentioned, we're in a pandemic and the regular Pride Month celebrations are different this year. You know, there's no parades that people are going to or just celebrations and gatherings. How do you feel like this Pride has been different?
Well, I think to me, this year is less about the differences in showing up physically and virtually and more about the moment of how we're experiencing Black Lives Matters as it relates to Pride. You know, and I would say for the first time in a while is when I personally have had to really think long and hard about the role of how Black trans lives matters and how that sits against something like Pride every year, you know, and it's something I think that a lot of gay people can take for granted when thinking about Pride. But if you think back to the Stonewall riots at, the end of the 60s that kind of kicked off this whole revolution, you know, the first brick they say was thrown by a Black trans or I think mm-hmm. Yeah, Black trans woman, or some people say her, the way she self-identified is, I think, is still up in the air. But that kind of coalesces it all together to this idea that, you know, there's so many people that have paved the way before us. And a lot of those voices are trans voices and those who are even underrepresented in the LGBTQ community. And I think a lot of what I've been thinking about this year is just kind of focusing my energy towards how we can show up and donate and advocate for those voices and participate in the conversation and keep listening and learning. So that's kind of taken up a lot of my headspace this year with Pride. It's not as, it's definitely not like the sexiest answer, and you know, people aren't going downtown and like dancing like in years past, or going to Pride Fest on Canal Side. But I think it's just as important.
I have felt that way too, and I agree. It's so important. Regarding Pride, if you've participated in Pride Month in the past, do you have any favorite memories that stick out to you?
I moved back to Buffalo with my husband about 3 years ago. Not about, 3 years ago. And I think about the year when gay marriage was legalized, you know, and that Supreme Court decision happened during Pride, and it instantly changing the day. We were living in Brooklyn at the time in New York, and it just felt like everyone just hit the pause button and just celebrated. Like, I hadn't really seen anything like that where collectively, like, the entire city, it felt like, was really like on the streets, like just having a ball. So that was a pretty cool memory, just to kind of see that happen, and just to see how it directly impacted and affected so many people, you know. And we had a similar milestone this week with the Supreme Court ruling that, you know, you can't be discriminated against for your sexual orientation or identity in the workplace, which is also just as huge. And I, honestly, it's those things like that, which it just feels so, it's such a game changer, and things that, and are things that people have worked so hard for. And it's just so gratifying when those moments happen.
Oh, absolutely. Being in Brooklyn and New York City during that time must have been amazing.
Oh yeah, it was wild.
I can't even imagine. It just was so, like, so much like celebration and joy. That's got to be such an amazing memory.
So you mentioned that you came out later. You said you came out when you were 23. Do you want to talk a bit about what that was like, if you're comfortable?
Yeah, I think everybody's, I really am passionate that, like, everyone's story is different when it comes to when and how they choose to come out. And for me, it took a while for me to feel that I just felt like it was never the right time. But to me, what was most important to me was being able to have that moment with my family first. So it was around Labor Day, I believe. I think it was like Labor Day weekend. And I called my parents just to tell them first. And I remember when it happened, I kind of like broke down on the phone, but it just felt at the same time, like, it was such a relief and just very liberating at the same time. And I think the reaction from family and friends, you know, as I told more and more people, is that it wasn't something that was entirely unexpected. And it also, more importantly for me, wasn't going to change anything in terms of how my relationships worked, or, you know, the people that I cared about the most. It wasn't something that was a deal breaker. And I'm very fortunate to be able to have people in my life like that. And I know that it's not something that's, people don't have that same experience. I would just encourage everyone just to sense your own moment, and, you know, what's right for you is what's right for you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's just, you said it just really beautifully and so well. So now about the recipe that you brought. So what recipe did you bring to speak about today, and why did you choose it?
So I've been cooking a lot during, you know, this quarantine period. And I've always loved to cook. But now, because we're also being careful about how we shop for groceries and how often we're going out, like, menu planning is also a really huge thing. So I've been leaning into a lot of new recipes. So I did a little bit more digging, and last week I made a recipe from another chef and author, and her name is Julia Tertian. So she is great. She has two books. One is called Small Victories and one is called Now and Again. And her approach is just like everything is like very cookable and accessible and isn't supposed to be scary. And then she also has a lot of like elements at the end of how you can kind of spin it to like make it make variations on whatever recipe that she includes in her cookbooks. But I think she has a podcast too. But anyways, the recipe that I have here, it's called Chicken and Leeks. I also picked it because we joined a CSA this year and we got a bunch of leeks last week. So I made this recipe last week.
Can you take some time and explain how to make this recipe?
What you do is you just take about 3 to 4 pounds of chicken pieces. I used chicken thighs last week, skin on. You salt and pepper them, and you heat up a Dutch oven with olive oil, and you cook the pieces skin side down for like 10 minutes on one side. So a lot of that like chicken fat starts to melt and gets all delicious, and flip over the chicken, cook the other side, take the chicken out, and then you add 4 large leeks that have been chopped up. And you want to make sure you clean your leeks really good before you do that. And you let that cook for a while. And then you add 1.5 cups of chicken stock. Another big thing that I've been doing is making my own chicken stock. I've become that kind of like home chef now where I have all the time in the world to like just fully nerd out on everything related to food. So you add your chicken stock and then you add the chicken pieces back in. I then took a bunch of kale that was torn up and threw it on top and let it wilt. And then you cover it and let it cook for like 30 minutes. And then when it's done, you have this delicious chicken. And then you have this like really saucy, tasty, chicken stocky, like mixture of leeks and wilted greens. And we served it over rice and it was awesome.
That sounds so good. Do you find that cooking was or became a stress reliever or something you looked forward to more once the pandemic hit and we were confined to our homes?
Well, I mean, it definitely was something that helped me to take up the time, you know, like I would I took great pains to menu plan now more than I would used to, like building out the right grocery shopping list, like for Passover, like picking like the right matzo ball soup recipe I wanted to make for our little house of two and what I wanted to pair that with, because, you know, we couldn't have like a 6-pound brisket in the house for two people. Like it became a way to fill the time that I wouldn't call it as a de-stressor, but it definitely helped to occupy a different space in my head and not need to and kind of shut off for a little bit, you know. And then the act of cooking itself, it, to me, is very therapeutic.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Is there anything that you'd like to say to those listening before we say goodbye regarding Pride Month and Judaism?
I will say as a Reformed Jew, to me, that never felt like a barrier to entry in terms of coming out or being a gay person. I think one of the things that I love about the Jewish faith and like the Reformed Jewish movement is its inclusivity. And I think that's really valuable, especially today when there's so many prohibitive things happening in the United States. There's not a strong voice from the Jewish community that's like, you know, aligning with some of the values that I don't necessarily agree with.
That is just, you know, so wonderful to hear that being Jewish and growing up Jewish never felt like a hindrance to, you know, that part of you. Well, Rusty, this was so wonderful. Thank you again. I really appreciate you being here and being our guest. I really enjoyed speaking with you. And to everybody listening, thank you so much. And I'll see you next week.